2012. One True God. The Glory of the Lord. This is a year where Holy Spirit will teach on the oneness of God. That there is no division, and although we know Him as Father and as Son and as Holy Spirit, one true God is His name. We don't pretend there is not a Holy Spirit and that He's less than God. And we don't pretend there is not a Son, Jesus Christ, and He is less than God. And we do not pretend there is only the Father as the greatest and the pinnacle. But we do come to a revelation that the one true God is one. The glory of the Lord is His name. He will not be stopped. He will give all things to all people that are willing to receive. He wants to give you everything, and everything is Him. Are we ready for the one true God? Not someone that we can control. Not someone that we're going to be afraid of so that we won't relate to Him. And not someone that we're going to denigrate or deny or dismiss. The one true God. One of the things the one true God wants you to know is that without the Spirit, there's no life. For the Spirit gives life. And if you are going to deny Him or minimize Him or diminish Him, you will not know God. Ever. So it's about time that the game stopped and the glory began. We have at our fingertips, in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies, the very glory of God. It says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Well, who is in us? The one true God. The one who made us, the one who died for us, the one who lives in us is one and the same. We cannot understand it in human wisdom. And it is laughed at and mocked at in some circles, even today. But God will not be mocked. He knows who He is, and He knows whose are His. This is a year of the one true God. Well, we will be coming onto the mountaintops, crying out, not in desperation, not in fear, not in worry, not in separation, but in exaltation. Glory, the one true God, the one true God, the one true God. On the rooftops, as He says, what I tell you in secret, shout on the rooftops. We can no longer be afraid of Him or try to control Him or minimize Him. Because without Him, including the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, we will understand nothing. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot confess Jesus Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot worship. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot overcome the lusts of the flesh. Without the Holy Spirit, we will not know the will of God. We can read it in the book. We can read it in the Bible. We can say that's enough. But the Bible did not replace the Spirit of the living God. No one replaces Him. That's like saying that the Father is replaced by the book. People think that Holy Spirit isn't as on the same level as the Father. But the truth is, He is the very Spirit of God. He is God. So to diminish Him and say, we can just look at the book and that's good enough, we don't need the Spirit, is saying to the Father, not only I don't want your promise and I don't want your gift and I don't want your seal, which Holy Spirit is all of these for us and in us, it's saying, your Spirit, Father, isn't good enough for me. Let's take it to its rational conclusion, what we're really saying. And if that's the case, we've rejected God Almighty. So to reject the Holy Spirit is to reject God Almighty. Stop splitting hairs. Stop trying to see them as separate. Stop trying to organize them. Stop trying to boss them around. And let God be God, and every man a liar. Now this year, Holy Spirit says, is the year of one true God. And when he says that, he doesn't mean this year, suddenly, the one true God is together, and before this they were separate. No, he means it is the awareness of the body, for the body to come into mature awareness of the one true God. That is what he will teach, that is what he will disseminate. Just like this year, it was Holy Ghost revolution. It was a pouring out of his presence into the body of those that would receive. Many were freed. Many became completely enamored with God Almighty. Many knew, suddenly could dance with him in love rather than in rules or in some kind of forced marriage, arranged marriage. Instead, it was, I'm in love with you. This year is the next step. This year, he will teach how each Father, Son, Holy Spirit is one true God. I can't understand it. You can't understand it. But he will reveal it. That is the glory of God. That is the nature of the Spirit of God. When we say Holy Spirit, we are not talking about somebody different than God. He is God in us. Why can't we just accept that? Because when we realize it is God in us, and God died for us, and God made us, we cannot manipulate him, and we fall on our knees in worship. You can't hold back. The one true God is God. And when he says in Revelation, I am the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, the one who died and is now alive. That's Jesus. Do we say he's less than the one true God? When he says, I have overcome, he overcame on earth as we are to overcome on earth. And do you know what our most glorious promise is? That if we overcome, we will sit in his throne, Jesus Christ, just as he overcame and sat in his Father's throne. That's our future. We want to know what our future is? That's it. If we persevere, if we hold to the faith, if we finish the race. Not just because we declared, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That isn't going to cut it. A flimsy declaration based on no substance and no life that you live it out as. There have been so many false doctrines this year, a plethora of them. People running to ideas and teachings and teachers for their sustenance, and then being lied to and then lying to others because all they did was parrot what someone else said, quoted them from morning to night, and misused and perverted the Word of God, which is living and active as a double-edged sword, cutting between bone and marrow, soul and spirit. It is not a tool to use without precision, reverence, and truth, or it will destroy people. This year has seen so many fall away from the faith. Sadly, hundreds upon hundreds. And many come to a new faith, a new understanding, a living faith, but far less than those that fall away and have fallen away. But there is a promise that if you do read and listen and keep the prophecy of the book of Revelation, that you will be blessed. One of those blessings is just listening. And in the listening, You will find out a future you never thought possible. There are so many promises in Revelation. Promises that are out of this world. Far better than cars and houses and money in the bank, which is what much of the church chases now. Promises to sit in his throne. Promises to be kept from the time of trial. He says to the Philadelphians, "You have persevered and had little strength, but you kept the faith in me. So therefore I will keep you from the time of trial that will come upon the whole world to test it." If nothing else, would that not be a reason to hold to the faith? Does anyone want to endure that horrific tribulation that is coming? It would be like the Israelites when the angel of death came to destroy the firstborn of all the Egyptians, whether it was cattle, it could have been beasts, or humans. The firstborn died, they all died, except those who had painted their lintels with the blood of the Lamb. We are painted with the blood of the Lamb, believers, if we hold to the faith. You can't just say, "I'm irreproachable. I'm blameless. I'm holy and above reproach." If you declare those, you must also declare the condition. The condition is, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven. That is the condition. It's not about being perfect and doing everything right and never making a mistake, because we know that through Christ Jesus, that we were, as it says in Colossians 2, we were dead in our trespasses. He has made us alive together with him, having forgiven all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. We know we are forgiven. But that does not in any way indicate that we don't walk worthy of the calling with which we are called, and that we are not steadfast in our faith, because he says we need to be. He says, "And you," in Colossians 1:21, "and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven." We are told that if we were raised with Christ, we seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. And we set our mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for we died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. And when he appears, then we also will appear with him in glory. And it tells us that we are to put to death fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. But how do we do it? We don't do it by working at it hard and fast. I'll try with willpower. No. How do we overcome the lust of the flesh? We walk in the Spirit. And you shall overcome the lust of the flesh. We need to connect the dots here, believers, and realize that the one true God has given us all access to himself, has given us all gifts with which to overcome the enemy, has given us his very life to live. That we have no excuse to run around confused and disheveled and battered and beaten. We need to stand up and be the true bride and stop having others lie to us and deceive us and say, well, so-and-so said, and therefore I'm going to believe it. When you not only have the book, the Bible, written Word of God, even with some mistranslations, you can ask the Holy Spirit to clarify all of that, because some of it isn't mistranslated, some of it is just misinterpreted. There are both issues. And if you want to go back to the original Greek, that is a great way to see the truth of the written word. But you ask him, because the word is the sword of the Spirit, not ours. Doesn't belong to us. Word of God is not ours. It's a gift and a tool to reveal the truth about the one true God. It's not ours to cut with and demean or hammer or destroy. So this is the year of freedom and truth. Whatever you learned last year, if it did not bring you freedom in your heart, not a freedom to sin, not a freedom to do as you please, not a freedom to deny his power, his reverence, his truth, but a freedom to live in him, in the perfect law of liberty, the Spirit of liberty, the Spirit of the living God, the Lord is Spirit, the freedom to live as his. If it brought you that, keep it. If it did not, it is garbage. It is not to be held on to. If it made you closer to God Almighty, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one true God, retain it. If it in any way separated you from him, made you believe things that kept you from intimacy and openness and truth with him and yieldedness in relationship, it needs to be given up at the end of this year, 2011. And all you have to say is, in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, take everything out of me. Cut away, Holy Surgeon, anything that would stop me from knowing you, one true God. For you are the one, Holy Spirit, that transforms me from glory to glory in the image of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You don't have to try and be perfect. You don't have to never make a mistake. You have to only be open and yielded to him and want his will above your own. Some of you have been terribly persecuted this year, and it's been devastating. Some of you have hidden away because you might be persecuted. Others have done the persecuting, and still others have fallen away completely. 2012 is a year to know the one true God forever and ever. Amen. Holy Spirit says, I cannot help you if you are unwilling. I cannot make a future for one who rejects truth. I can only uphold those who uphold him. If you think you know more than me, be my guest. Follow your own way. But if you believe, know, there is no way to go my way without me, then come follow me, your Lord, your servant, your Father, your Savior, your friend, your teacher, your lover, and eternal God. Amen. That is his invitation for 2012, the one true God.